All right. Well, welcome, everybody. I'm so glad that you're here, that we can. I know last week we weren't able to meet because of the snow and all the bad weather. My 5-year-old daughter, Annie, was really disappointed that we weren't getting to meet for church. And I was like, oh, that's so cute. That's so great that we didn't get to meet. We didn't get to gather together and worship Jesus together. And so it's so great when we get to do that. And I'm so thankful that you guys can join together as we worship the Lord during this holiday season. Well, Ken was right. I was going to talk about the Big Mac, but not giving away the secret sauce. But the secret sauce was created by a guy in 1968 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And it was the secret sauce that really made the Big Mac at McDonald's the Big Mac. People want to know what's in this sauce, but they won't tell you. They won't tell you the secret sauce because it's a secret. There has been some people recently in the last 10 years or so that figured out what it is. But still, for a long time, people wanted the Big Mac. The Big Mac was getting so popular. Even when my wife's family lived in Bolivia as missionaries, they would, every time there was somebody was coming from the States from one of their friends, they'd say, hey, at the airport, pick us up some Big Macs. Get them, put them in ice packs when you get on the plane, and we'll eat them. And so that was always a treat for her family. I don't know if it was because of the secret sauce or what, but you know, when you have a good secret, you don't always want to tell it. You know, when you have a good secret, when you found something that works, you don't always just want to give it away. You don't want to let people know what it is. You know, when Micah and Melissa Ward were here a few weeks ago, at our house, Micah was sharing this magic trick with the kids, my younger, or actually all the kids. And they kept saying, how do you do it? And he would never tell them. They almost figured it out. And he was like, oh, nope, don't want to tell them. Because a good magician doesn't reveal his secrets. You know, if you want to have a good success at something, a lot of times you don't want to share that secret with others because other people will also do it. But as we're going to find out today, as we close out the letter of Philippians, Paul doesn't do this. He doesn't hold on to the secret. He wants the believers there in Philippi, and then now throughout history, the believers, to know the secret of being content. And so as we jump into the last part of Philippians today, I would encourage you to open to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be starting today in verse 10. Now, Philippians, we went through a lot of really great content about Philippians because of what Paul was writing to this church about, the church in Macedonia, current Greece. And he was writing to them this about a lot of things, but really about being full of joy. You could just see it throughout each chapter, just being full of joy. You could see also this mindset. There's a different kind of mindset that he is calling us to, that is the mindset of Christ Jesus. And there's this mindset of emptying ourselves so we can be full of joy. And last time we looked at how sometimes the joy can be stolen from us if we are anxious. And so that is right after this passage of don't be anxious about anything, but with everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That's what it says in verse 6. And the way verse 9 ended right before this, and the God of peace will be with you. Keep that in mind. The God of peace will be with you. Now, this is what we're going to read after that. The God of peace will be with you. Verse 10. Paul says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord, that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned. You were concerned for me. You were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And we'll pause there. Paul is telling them thank you. He's telling them that he rejoices in the Lord. He's said that a lot in this letter, rejoicing in the Lord. He greatly rejoices in the Lord. But then he gets into this part about how he's learned this secret, the secret to being content, this secret to being full. This word in Greek, where it says, I learned the secret of being content, this word is literally to be full. It's not just content, but it's to be full. And this is really going right along with what we've been talking about in this letter, joy-filled. Learning the secret to being content, to being satisfied, to being filled with joy. Whatever the circumstances, that doesn't change the joy that we have. And so the first secret to satisfaction is learning contentment in the Lord. It's learning this contentment. It's not something that's always just, we have it figured out. We have to learn this. It's a process. It takes time. Maybe for some it takes a while. For others it takes a quick amount of time. But it's something you have to learn. And it's, you know, it's not always easy to learn to be content, because we want to be content, but we think that our contentment is based on certain things. And so if those certain things aren't met, then we aren't going to be content. And so it's hard to learn this satisfaction in the Lord, this contentment in the Lord, not in circumstances. Now, new parents, they experience this contentment. They have this joy and this peace when this little baby has come to their family and born and come home, and they love it. It's just so great. They love this little child. And they love it especially when the baby's content. But when the baby's not content, when a baby's not content, it lets it be known. It cries. This child needs something. This child needs something, and the parents better figure out how quickly to figure out what the need is. Whether it's a burp, a nap, change their diaper, feed them, whatever it is, the parents have to figure this out. And the faster they can figure it out, the faster they're going to get back to contentment and satisfaction and joy. And so the parents have to figure this out. The baby has to figure it out too. That's something that's important. But we have to figure this out. We have to figure out how to be content, because we don't always need everything that we want. In fact, we often don't need the things that we want. So how are you learning contentment in the Lord? Are you in a season of plenty? Are you in a season of lack? Does that affect your attitude and your contentment? And what do you need to learn in being content? You know, before we move on, I just want to note one thing about this verse of verse 13. Verse 13 is a very common verse, a very commonly misquoted verse, in fact. And so it often people say this verse, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's true in this context. But it's not about just wanting something and claiming that thing because of Jesus, I can do all things. It's not that. I really like how the NIV uses the word this. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. What is the this? Well, you have to look back at the last few verses. It's about being content. It's about being content in no matter the circumstance. Being content in the Lord. And this verse literally says, for all things I have strength in the one strengthening me. And all these things I have strength being content, being full of the joy of the Lord, I'm content because of the one strengthening me. It's this present, active verb. It's not you've just acquired some strength and now you're good to go. It's an ongoing process. Because learning to be content is actually pretty hard. And that's why Paul says it requires strength, and it requires being strengthened regularly and daily. It's continual. Jesus is the source of the strength, giving this strength to be content in whatever you have, whatever I'm lacking. And this is a really important thing to keep in mind. It's not just I can do anything I want because of Jesus. No, it's I can be content. I can learn how to live with joy and satisfaction because of my relationship with Jesus. It doesn't matter the circumstances. And this is Paul's attitude, and this is the secret that he tells. Then he continues in verse 14 by saying, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. Verse 18, I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." And we're going to pause there. Paul talking about this gift that was given, this ongoing gifts that he's received from this church. This church has supported him. This Philippian church has supported him. And they didn't really, I think at one point, they didn't really know where he was. They didn't know he was in Rome, because he said, "You didn't know about my trouble at first, but then once you did, you figured it out and you were sending gifts." You know, Paul, he thanks them. He thanks them for their financial support. Because financial support is really important for someone in the doing ministry. We support several missions and missionaries, and that's really important to support them financially, because it helps them expand the gospel. It helps them share Jesus with others. And it would be difficult to do that without the finances. And so Paul's thanking them. He's thanking them for their support. And he also is commending them for their generosity. And he commends them for their hearts for caring about him. You know, they weren't just helpful for Paul, but these gifts pleased the Lord. It says that these gifts were a fragrant offering. Did you realize that your gift can be an offering, a fragrant offering, something that is acceptable and pleasing to the Lord? When you use the gifts the way that God's asking you to, they are going to be pleasing to the Lord. And so, in this context, Paul is thanking them. He's saying, "Thank you for this, and I'm really, you didn't need to do this, but I am thankful, and now I'm amply supplied." You know, even though Paul was in chains, he expresses this thankfulness. You know, and this secret to satisfaction, you know, we just looked at learning the contentment in the Lord, but also the secret of satisfaction is living with thankfulness. You know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving. Not this week, but the week before. And hopefully, you had a chance to practice thankfulness. Hopefully, that was part of what you did on Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving time gathering with family. You were able to share things that you were thankful for. You know, living with thankfulness is part of having a grateful heart. An author, David Steinle Ross, said this: "The root of joy is gratefulness. It's not joy that makes us grateful, but it's gratitude that makes us joyful." So living with thankfulness shows, if we live with thankfulness, we are then more and more going to be having more and more joy. We're going to be rejoicing more, like Paul has said throughout this letter. You know, last week I challenged you, or sorry, 2 weeks ago, I challenged you guys to spend, just try to spend 5 minutes a day practicing gratitude. Just to set aside 5 minutes and just think about things you're thankful for in different ways. You could do that. You know, and my family took this challenge on, and we did it all together at the same time in the evenings. And it was actually a lot easier than I thought it would be with 6 kids. So I think if we can do it, I think it's something that probably almost everybody can do. And what we noticed when we practice this gratitude, that we set a timer, and when the time was up, we were like, oh, that's it? That's been 5 minutes? It just kind of goes fast because you're in this mode of thinking of thankful things. Gratitude is important. Living with this thankfulness and having a grateful heart. It's such a good thing for our hearts. And when our hearts are full of gratitude, it pushes out the fears and the anxiety and the worry. When we are focused on the grateful things, then we are not focused on the things that bring worry to us. You know, similarly, when our hearts are full of joy, there's no room to keep looking to fill it with other things. We often try to fill our hearts with things that are going to give us the pleasures, the satisfactions, the quote-unquote joys of this world. You know, stuff, status, more and more of this or that. Does that bring you more joy? Because if your heart is already full of joy, it's going to be content. It won't be looking, you won't be trying to find all these other things to fill it with joy. And so Paul was grateful. He was practicing thankfulness to the gifts that were given to him. And this partnership of these people that had been partnering with him, sharing the gospel and doing things that are advancing the gospel because of what's happened. Because of Paul talking with people about Jesus. So then he says this as he closes the letter in verse 19 through 23. He says, he gives this prayer. He says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." And then he has a few greetings here. He says in verse 21, "Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters who are with me, send their greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." And when Paul closes this letter, it has some similarities to a lot of letters that Paul closes with some greetings. But what he's doing here is he is showing not just thankfulness, but then he's showing that he wants to give blessings to these people, this church in Philippi. So what does he do with this return of their kindness, financially supporting them while he's in chains? He gives them blessings. He blesses them by reminding them to look to the Lord as he will always provide for their needs. Do you look for the Lord to provide for your needs? Paul reminds them, and he points them to God. He blesses them by pointing them to God who receives all glory forever. Are we looking to the Lord? Paul blesses them by being in relationship with them and to give each other the grace of the Lord Jesus, who is with them. He blesses them by saying, Jesus isn't just somebody we talk about, isn't somebody we just pray to sometimes. Jesus is a person, a God person, fully God, fully human, but he's a God that is in relationship with you. He's a God that wants to be in relationship with you, and if you're not in relationship with God, he is not closed off to you. He wants to be with you. And so Paul blesses them. You know, we looked at the secret of satisfaction of being, learning this contentment in the Lord, and also living with thankfulness, but also looking for ways to bless others is a secret to satisfaction. When you are constantly looking for ways that you can be a blessing, when you can look for ways to help other people, it takes the focus off of ourselves and onto others. It is a secret of satisfaction. There's always a blessing when you bless others. And the blessing comes from the Lord. You know, when you are looking out for others, you're caring for their needs, you're encouraging them, you're blessing them, this is usually a person who is full of the joy of the Lord. When's the last time you saw someone that was just really blessing a lot of people with a smile on their face, and they're just thankful, but they are just doing it out of their own interests, out of their own pride? I mean, it could happen, but often, most of the time, I would say it's people that are full of joy in the Lord, and they just want to bless others. They've learned the secret of satisfaction. They want to be a blessing, be used by the Lord to help other people. You know, but the secret to satisfaction is tricky. It's tricky because this, sin. There's a quote by author Ann Voskamp who says, "Our fall was, has always been, and always will be that we aren't satisfied in God and what he gives. We hunger for something more, something other. We hunger for something more. We're not satisfied with what God gives because we want and want and want." You know, during this Christmas season, we see that a lot. Well, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? Well, I guess I want this and that. You know, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? The focus, even though we're giving gifts to others, the focus often comes back to, well, I could really use this. I could really use that. I could, you know, I could be, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting gifts, but sometimes the focus ends up being about not just giving, but about what I want, not necessarily what I need. And that kind of affects our relationship with God, because what do we want from God? We want God to answer our prayers now. We want God to answer our prayers the way we want him to. We want him to do what we say. But guess what? That would make us in charge, not God. And so if we are learning this contentment in the Lord, one of the things we can learn is not to be looking for satisfaction in other things outside the Lord. Sure, we can be satisfied. We can be thankful for when people give gifts. And you can be giving gifts and showing people joy and blessing other people. That's great, because we want to bless others. But often in our consumerism of this holiday, that's all about Jesus. It's all about God coming, sending his son to earth as a baby to show people how to live for God. Often this comes back to, well, what do you want? What do I want? Well, let's be all about buying and getting more and more and more. But do we need more and more and more? Do we need the newest this or that? The answer is probably not. But that doesn't mean we don't want it. But are we satisfied? You know, this, as Jesus followers, we find the secret to a joy-filled life. This is for this whole series, being a joy-filled life. This whole letter of Philippians, being joy-filled. We find this secret to a joy-filled life is being strengthened by Jesus. By gaining strength by the one strengthening me, is what Paul says. He gets strength to be content. He gets strength to have joy. He gets strength in whatever his circumstances in life, when he has a little or when he has a lot. It doesn't change his joy for the Lord, because his joy of the Lord is found in Jesus, in the person of Jesus, not just knowing about Jesus, but joy is found in the person and relationship of Jesus. So are you finding your strength in the joy of the Lord? Are you being strengthened by him? Because maybe that's what's missing. Maybe you feel like, I'm lacking joy. In this holiday season, I need to have this joy and be excited in the Lord. But maybe the problem is, you're not being strengthened by the Lord. You're not learning this contentment. Because maybe you've bought into the needing more, when it's really wanting more. You know, this word content is a word that my dad would always teach me, us kids growing up, and maybe it's because there was 8 of us kids and we didn't have all the things that all our friends and neighbors had. But my parents talked to us a lot about being content. And he said, contentment is happy with what I have. And he'd always put it on his fingers, happy with what I have. Are you content? Are you happy with what you have? Because there's a lot of things that if we look to other things, that we're not going to be excited. We're going to be like, hey, I want that. I need that. I want this. But are you happy with what you have? Does that make you content? And really, what you have, if you are in Christ, you have Jesus. Are you happy with what you have? Am I happy with what I have? Sometimes I kind of forget about joy coming from Jesus and this relationship. Of course, at Christmas time, we think about Jesus coming, but sometimes we kind of forget, what is Jesus all about? It's not just to study. It's not just to know more and know more. It's about our hearts and him changing our hearts. And part of that is changing our desires for more and more, because he fills us. He's the secret. He's the secret to satisfaction is Jesus. You know, you know if you had a nice Thanksgiving meal, that secret to satisfaction, that filling your belly with turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, stuffing, green beans, you know, all kinds of stuff, pumpkin pie. You feel very content because you're full. And when you're full, you're not looking for more. You're not looking for, what else can I get? Do I need a third piece of pumpkin pie? Maybe not even a second, but am I wanting more and more? Or are you being content when you're full? Jesus wants you to be content. He wants you to be satisfied. He wants you to be full of joy. So are you wanting more and more? Because sometimes the more we have, the less joy we feel. A survivor of the Holocaust, Corrie Ten Boom, famously said, "You don't know Jesus. You don't really know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have." When Jesus is all you have, you realize your need so great for him. But when there's all these other things that can, quote unquote, satisfy you, then we sometimes forget about our need for Jesus. Some people have so little material possessions, but they have so much joy. In Timothy, the first Timothy, Paul says this to young Timothy. He says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." He says we just need food and clothing, and we can be content if we have food and clothing. But earlier, in Philippians, Paul says, even when there was in seasons of of lack, when he didn't have much food or any food, he was being content because of the joy of the Lord. But here in Timothy, in 1 Timothy 6, he says that we're not going to take anything out of the world. We came into the world with nothing, and we're going to leave with nothing. So why are we trying to acquire and acquire and acquire and getting more and more stuff? Because the more we have, usually, the happier we aren't. The world says the more you have, the happier you'll be. Now, that's true if it's in Jesus. If that all you need is Jesus, then you will be happy. You will be joyful. Now, this Jesus, Paul's talked all about in Philippians. He tells us to rejoice in Jesus, no matter the circumstances. If you, things aren't going well, if you're in a season of lack, if you're needing more things, but Paul shows us who to rejoice in. It's Jesus. Let's think about this just for a moment, what he said in this letter about who Jesus is. And you can even close your eyes if you want to. I won't assume you're sleeping. This is who Jesus is in Philippians. In verse 1, chapter 1, he says, Jesus is the Christ. In verse 6, he says, he's the one who will complete the good work in you, which he has begun. In verse 21 of chapter 1, he says, to live is all about him because of Jesus. To die is gain. In chapter 2, verse 6, he says, Jesus is the one who made himself in the very nature of God. And they continued by saying, he made himself nothing, like emptying himself, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. In chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus is the surpassing worth. There's a surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. In chapter 3, verse 9, through faith in him, we receive the righteousness that comes from God. And then in verses 10 and 11, Jesus defeated death, and because of him, we can win the prize which God has called us heavenward. In verse 20 of chapter 3, Jesus reigns in heaven. In the next verse, and everything is under his control. He will transform our lowly bodies so that they will look like his glorious body. In chapter 4, verse 3, Jesus is the one who adds names to the book of life. In verse 5, he's the one who's near. In verse 6, he's the one that wants you to not be anxious about anything, but present your requests to him with thanksgiving. In verse 7, he's the one who gives you peace, his peace that passes all understanding. And his peace guards your hearts and minds. In verse 9, he's the God of peace, and he will be with us. In verse 13, he's the one who satisfies and gives us strength. In verse 19, our God meets all your needs according to his riches and glory. These verses throughout this letter point to Jesus. And over and over and over, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. It's a safeguard for you. It's the best thing you can do is rejoice in the Lord. Have your contentment in the Lord. Be living with thankfulness. Be looking for ways to bless others, because these are the secrets of satisfaction and being content, having a full joy in the Lord. You know, this week I want to challenge you to answer this question. And think about it. Answer this question. I could finally be happy if... I could finally be happy if I had a better vehicle, house, better salary, if I could get better grades, if I could be better at sports or music or other talents, if I would just not be in pain. I'd be happy if I had a spouse or a child or grandchildren, a healthy family. I could be happy if I could just pay off the mortgage. If I could just get out of debt, I'd be happy if God would just give me what I want or what I truly desire. How do you answer this question? I could finally be happy if. Take a moment to think about that. The truth is, we could answer this question for pages if we really stopped and think about how much we want. And I just want to encourage you to let the Lord fill you with His strength to find contentment in Him, like Paul in this letter. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this letter of Philippians. We thank you for the joy that is found only in you. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the giver of joy, that we need you. Jesus, we ask that we would be full of your joy, that we would learn the secret of being content is being with you. That we would live with thankfulness and we would look for ways to be a blessing to others. But Lord, we just pray that you would continue to fill us with your joy. Strengthen us, Jesus, we ask. Help us to keep our eyes on you and not look to others, not look to what other people are getting, what other people have, but we can be content in what we have in you, Jesus. Lord, we pray the words of Paul in this letter. We pray that the East Bend would be, their love would abound more and more in the knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Be the glory and praise of God. And Lord, we just pray that for each person here, that we would find our joy in you, we would find this depth and insight in you, and we would discern what is best in you and be pure and blameless for you, with you. And Lord, we just pray that we'd be filled with your righteousness that comes from you, and that everything we say and do would bring glory and praise to your name. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.